Yeah, thank you for asking because it was a very, very emotional day. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm glad that you had an opportunity and you're going to be able to share that with my brains. Hello, brains, and welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. Here, right here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. What? We have Jackie Simmons, okay? She's going to come here and I'm telling you, this is going to be an emotional but uplifting and positive experience again on the edge. You know, Jackie has had some trials and tribulations. She is a mother of three, and two of her children have had bouts with thoughts of suicide. She's going to talk to us about that. She's going to talk about how she had a 7-minute conversation with one of her children, and it just turned everything inside out and upside down. And she wrote a book about it. Okay. And the book is called Make It a Great Day. The Choice is Yours for Teens. And it's going to give them some suggestions on what to do when they feel that they're in that dark place. And she had a summit today, okay, because she's killing it in business. And you know what she does for a living? She trains brains. Yeah, she trains brains, and not with treats and a leash, okay?
That's true. Not with treats and a leash.
So, Brace, help me welcome her to the edge, Jackie Simmons. Hello, baby. How are you?
I am well, April. I am well. And yes, it could be an emotional roller coaster because it's been that kind of a day for me, and it's been that kind of a month. It's only been 6 weeks since my daughter gave a 7-minute talk that totally rocked my world. And so I'm still kind of rocky, but yeah, the summit was today, and then it's tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. So I'm only one quarter into this, and I'm like, holy crap. So I was like, okay, I'm going to talk to April. She's going to help me get my head on straight so that I can make it for the rest of my own summit.
You are on the edge, and we are going to level it out for you, okay? Because that's what we do,
right?
But this is a lot of good stuff going on. Let's start with your history, your experience, your education, and how you train a brain.
Well, I train brains using what I learned on my 30-year journey to cure myself of depression.
Wow.
I've had a couple of bouts of clinical depression, and Western medicine didn't have a cure. They could get me stable, which I was grateful for, but they couldn't cure me. I mean, I did counseling, therapy, and medication, and I was all right, but I wasn't great. And when they couldn't cure me, I went to Eastern medicine. And there I studied two different energetic healing arts, and I found good stuff, you know, mindfulness, energy, meditation, and still no cure. So I just kept searching. And my journey led me into some other certifications. You know, I had the body with Western medicine and I had the spirit with Eastern medicine. So I studied the brain, you know, body, mind, and spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's how I first got into brain retraining, but it was first with language because I studied mediation and I'm a transformative mediator by training. And in that conversation, I learned the power.
I'm sorry, dial back a little bit. Explain what that is to my brains.
Oh, transformative mediation?
Right.
Okay, there are three styles of mediation in the world. Directive mediation is what attorneys practice, and they are the only ones allowed to practice it. And it's pretty much they get together and they tell you what the solution is. And then the second kind of mediation is what they teach in colleges. And it's facilitative. It's where the mediator has a job. The job is to facilitate an agreement. And that can be shuttle diplomacy where people are in different rooms or they can be all together. But the agenda of the mediator is to bring them to an agreement. And this is what most of the courts use. Okay. They want their mediators to bring people to an agreement so they don't end up in court. And then there was somebody, man named Baruch, and he said, this isn't working so well. People come to agreements, but the agreements don't stick. There's got to be something else in the promise of mediation. He wrote a book called The Promise of Mediation. And when I met him, it was the rendition. They had revised that entire book. And I studied at the Baltimore Center of Mediation, the Baltimore Mediation Center, sorry. And I mean, I studied with these little white women who mediate between the warring tribes in Africa.
Wow.
I mean, they are flipping fearless. Mm. And by the time I was done, I realized that's not what I was called to do. I'm also not called.
You wasn't that little white woman, huh?
No, I'm not that little. I might be pale, but I am not that little.
Stand your lane, girl. I got you. I know. That's cute.
So I realized I also didn't want to do court-ordered mediation. And I was like, okay, so what am I going to do with this? Well, you know, body, mind, and spirit, I realized I was emotionally pretty stable. Mm-hmm. But I was stable kind of like a three-legged elephant as long as I was holding still. The minute I went to move, like a new something in my business or a new relationship or anything new, it was like trying to ride a three-legged elephant. It was very herky and jerky. Mm. And so I'm like, what's missing? You know, body, mind, spirit, emotions are what we're missing. Mm. So I joined the Society of Emotional Intelligence and deep dove into the connection between emotion and thinking. And that's where I've been playing ever since. The body, mind, spirit, emotion, that square is where I play. I think we're born with our body, mind, spirit, and emotion all connected. And then life happens and we split apart.
Oh, okay.
Right. And we spend the rest of our life trying to get back together. And after studying for 30 years, trying to solve this puzzle for myself, I will tell you that when it started coming together, it was pretty fast and life-changing, because in a four-month period, I got asked to end my marriage, dropped out of college, dropped my last W-2 job, and stopped taking antidepressants.
Wow.
And that's been, oh my God. That's been 16 years ago.
Wow. What an amazing 16 years. So fast forward us and bring us to that 7-minute conversation that you had with your daughter. Now you have all these tools, your toolbox, mm-hmm. able to consciously uncouple and survive marriage. You've found a new career.
Mm-hmm.
You've got parenting, you know, you've got this Eastern philosophy, and now you have a conversation with your child.
Yeah, well, and it was a conversation that was public, because part of my business, I host a 3-day live in-person event about finding your message and speaking. So one piece of it is everybody gets up, gives a 7-minute talk for feedback from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so my daughter was participating in the event. So I'm her coach. She gets up to start this 7-minute talk. And she started it with a startling statistic. And as her coach, I was really proud, because that's a good way to start a talk. If you got a short talk, a good way to start it is with a startling statistic.
Right.
Her statistic was 3,000. 3,000 a day. 3,000 a day is the number of teens who attempt to take their own life every day in our country. I almost fainted. I had no clue that the number was that big. And I'm like, okay, wow. Her next sentence was, when I was 14. And April, you want to talk about an explosion in the brain. My brain just exploded. It was all I could do to sit still, because I wanted to just scream at her to stop. Stop talking. Don't tell.
But, oh, okay. So let me stop you right there, because we want to know. She's ready to, you know, open up like a lotus flower. Why do you want to stop her? What were you feeling?
Oh, this is not something you talk about in public. This is how I was raised. Mm. I was raised where you don't talk about stuff, especially not in public. That, you know, you don't want people to know your dirty laundry. You don't air your dirty laundry in public. And this is a black mark on the family. You don't tell people about your black marks. And there's nothing more dark than mental health, especially suicide.
Mm.
And that was the culture I came from. And so that, I didn't even know was still ingrained in me. I mean, I figured I'd left all of that stuff behind, all of those limiting beliefs and things. But no, I found another layer that day. Mm. And my brain was like, you can't tell this. Well, I didn't stop her. Yeah, I mean, I'm posting this flippant event. I don't want everybody to know that I'm melting down in the corner. So her next sentence was that she still struggles with suicidal thoughts. Now, this has been 23 years. I did not know she still struggled. She manages to find joy every day, but she still struggles with suicidal thoughts. And managing to find joy every day is lovely. Realizing that what I thought we had put to bed 23 years ago, we hadn't. It wasn't over for her. I had just lived in some kind of dream world that I thought it was over.
Wow.
So that was really about the lowest point I can imagine. I mean, I figured if I had to describe this to somebody, it would be this urge to curl up in a fetal position and just start howling. Mm. And then she said the words that turned it around for me. She said that she wants to start a program to work with teens, tweens, and young adults and help them find joy every day, mm, even if they struggle with suicidal thoughts.
Now, I can see that it's still very, very tender for you, and thank you for opening up to our brains. It's okay, honey. Release of the edges where we do that, okay? We just come. Right. We come full, hair options, everything.
Yeah.
Lotion and love and all of that. Now, that's one chapter, but you didn't just have one child that experienced that. You had two. Have you ever had the conversation with your second child about their emotions and their feelings?
Again, I thought it was over. But when I started to support Stephanie and we figured out some ideas for how she could start a program to help teens and tweens and young adults, I ran the idea by my youngest daughter because she's got three boys. Yeah, and she's got three boys that are right in that age group of being teens and tweens. And I'm like, okay, let's talk. You know, would you think that they would do this? Because I laid out the program for her and why we thought it was important. And she paused and it was really silent. And then over the phone, we're talking on the phone. She says, Mama, you know why I get tattoos on my arms, right? It was like, huh, what? Mm-hmm. And she said, it's to hide the scars.
Wow.
And I had totally blocked off and walled off that history. Mm-hmm. That story of the fact that she had also been suicidal, that I had done this journey of the chronic uncertainty and anxiety, that I had done this more than once. And I was like, holy crap. And then she told me that, yeah, she thought her boys would read the stories or whatever. And we talked about a couple of other things. And I got the sense that she wasn't ready to talk about it. But she at least had mentioned it.
Right.
And I got off the phone and realized I wasn't ready to talk about it either. So this was okay.
So now you got these two daughters that have, mm-hmm, struggled with that. And you struggle with depression yourself.
Mm-hmm. And so does my oldest daughter. So, I mean, all three of my daughters have struggled. Two of them actually made attempts to kill themselves. They didn't just struggle with suicidal thoughts, April. My daughters have scars, physical as well as emotional scars. Wow. And this is not something I wish on any parent.
So tell me, how does that feel, sitting in that seat as a parent? I can't imagine. I can't even get my mind around that.
You don't sleep much. Anybody who's a parent knows that when a baby is born, the first 6 months, you probably don't sleep much. You're going to be chronically sleep deprived.
Right.
And if you have a history of something awful in your family, like sudden infant death syndrome or something, then you don't sleep at all because you're waiting to make sure they can still breathe. Mm. And, you know, I went through that. You raised three babies. When you have a suicidal teenager, you don't sleep. You don't, because you don't know what they might do in the middle of the night, or I didn't. And then we learned, we went into counseling. I mean, they got help. Yeah, I mean, they got help. We did counseling, we did therapy, we did in hospital, we did interventions, we did safety contracts. There is nothing we didn't do that I could think of at the time. At the time, I couldn't think very straight.
Right. So you're at this place and you're with your children. They're not revealing. Are they telling you? Let me go back a little bit. Are you seeing signs, you know, visible signs? Because suicide suicide from, you know, from an outsider looking at it is very personal. It's very intimate. It's a secret. You know, this is something that I can't share with others. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to express myself. Nobody else cares. Nobody else understands. Mama doesn't know. It's very selfish. So what are the outward signs that you saw and that you can share with parents if they feel that their children are really in a crisis state? Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And I got a question. You said suicide is selfish. And I'm like, not sure that I agree. Okay. But we might have to circle around to that one.
Yeah, we can agree to disagree. Educate me. I want to know. Yeah.
But that one just hit me a little hard. Okay, so are there signs that I can look back at now and say, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There were signs that my daughters were in trouble early on. But being in trouble is not the same thing as being suicidal.
Okay.
You know, sudden weight gain is a symptom that something has happened to your child emotionally. Mm. But I know that now, April. I didn't know that then. And a lot of the training I do with people is how to stay out of shame, because to give myself a load of crap, which is what I used to do, about the fact that I should have known then, I should have been able to see it coming, I should have done a better job to protect them, I should have. The reality is that's like a first grader walking into a math class shaming themselves for not being able to do calculus. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We can only see what we are able to see in that moment. So I can tell you some things that will help any other parent who's wondering if their kid's got an issue. Sudden weight gain is one of them. Not playing with the things that they used to play with and not picking up something new to replace it. These are now signs that I know mean that a kid's in trouble.
Hmm. Now, when you say, let's dial back. When I say selfish, I don't mean it. I'm thinking that it's a loneliness. I don't mean selfish as regard as it's about me, but it is internally me. It is just about self, that I'm the only person that understands. I'm the only person experiencing this. It's lonely. So maybe that was the wrong choice of saying selfish versus lonely.
Well, I just, like I said, because the word caught my attention. The people who have survived now have groups. Now there is some conversation around it. 20 years ago, there was nothing. 20 years ago, if someone committed, and this happened in my daughter, Stephanie, she's the one who gave the 7-minute talk. In her high school, right before the start of her junior year, one of her favorite teachers committed suicide. Hmm. There was not any movement in the school to bring in crisis counselors, help kids work through this, the way that there is in a lot of schools now.
Okay.
So the world is different now. And the scary part is we have so much more support available now, and the number of suicide attempts is skyrocketing. And everybody's looking for who to point the finger at as far as what's the cause. And I've got a whole list of what the world is saying is the cause of suicide. Mm. And I don't care. I don't care about the cause. I care about the prevention.
That's right.
You know, that's my focus. And that's how we ended up starting the society that we've started. Because all we care about is prevention. All we care about is not letting that number stay where it is. It's got to go down. We are losing a generation.
Right.
And I'm just not going to stand for it. I'm not going to sit for it. I'm not going to be silent on it. I've been silent for over 20 years. Not anymore.
All right. Well, speak to it, baby. Tell us a little bit about prevention. Tell us about what you're doing. Go on, be in your feelings. That's what we do here on The Edge, because I'm right with you. I'm in your feelings too. Tell us about prevention and what can we do? What can we do when we look in the eyes of trouble and not just, you know, youth?
You don't know they're troubled. I'm going to be bluntly honest with you. The kid who commits suicide is the one who, on all outward appearances, is doing okay.
Wow.
They're happy. They're laughing. They're playing. They're hanging out with they could even be the popular kid. There is not a lot of outward sign that somebody who's not intimate with them would notice. Mm. There are people who are playing and laughing and engaging with their friends, and the next day their friends go to school and hear the announcement that that person took their life.
Wow.
And it is so shocking that now it's unusual for kids to get through high school without having experienced losing a friend to suicide.
Mm.
That's scary to me.
Yes, it is.
That's scary. I have one of the project, what we ended up doing was we ended up writing a book. And we wrote the book, Make It a Great Day, The Choice Is Yours.
Put the book up again so people can see it.
This is the book. Make it, isn't that gorgeous?
That's gorgeous.
And this is,
I see the light, it's just radiating. It's like,
yeah. And so it's gorgeous. And you know, if it's all right, I'll just read to you what's on the back of this book, because I think that it explains the mission probably better than I can.
All right.
It says, this book is not for you to read. Now, it's not for teens to read, because we know statistically teens don't read books. So people pushed back on me and said, why a book? Why not a download, a podcast, something that they can listen to because they don't read? And I'm like, okay, we're just going to put this out there and we're going to help people understand. This book is not for you to read. This book is for you to share.
Okay.
Every day, 3,000 teens attempt to take their own lives. Every day, 6,000 or more parents face their worst nightmare. Every day, someone needs a reminder that they're not alone and that life's not hopeless. Please share this book. Talk about it. Share your stories. Share a hug. Join the movement to stem the tide of teen suicide. And then it's how to learn more about it. And then at the bottom, it says, look inside for stories that are real, raw, and sometimes come with dog turds. One of the authors for the book wrote a story. The title is Even with Dog Turds.
That's incredible. Well, Brains, I want you to reach out and grab this book right away. It's being sold on Amazon. And do all that you can. Be a good listener. You know, I found raising my two children, I have a blended family. I have a bonus son and my daughter. And with both of those, I had to be a real good listener. I remember my daughter telling me at about 7 years old, she goes, Mommy, I listen and watch every single thing you do. Scared me to death. So, you know, I had to put on a brave front, and I had to be a great person, and I had to be a good mom, but I had to be a good listener because I had to hear what she had to say. So tell us some other good things that are going on. Let's lighten the mood here a little bit. Tell us about your business and your coaching and what you're doing to really kind of change the trajectory of life for other entrepreneurs.
Well, what am I doing? Right now I'm hosting a show. This online summit is the Woman Entrepreneur Show. And this season we are working primarily with what's in the way. Yeah, what is draining your energy, draining your bank account? And so today we started with a man who is known as the voice brander. And his take was really cool because he's like, you don't need a business card. You speak in where somebody can hear you, and you have imprinted yourself on their brain by your voice. And most people don't use their voice effectively. And so we got into this long conversation about that, as well as about podcasting, which of course you know all about, but I knew nothing about. So it was really educational for me. And then I had a gentleman on today about Facebook ads. And actually his whole take is don't do it. Now he runs a Facebook ad agency. So his point was don't do it until you have things in place in the background where you can actually take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And he went into the nitty gritty, walking step by step by step. How do you set up a Facebook ad account? How do you set up a Facebook ad manager? Why you need a business manager and why you need a backup business manager. I mean, he went into the nitty gritty and even where you click to set these things up. So that was cool. So that's to stop the drain on your pocketbook, because as far as I was concerned, Facebook ads were nothing more than a hole in the ocean that I was pouring water in, pouring money into.
And people have to understand that these social media platforms are going to change once they figure out and adjust to what they're going to do with Mr. 45. They're coming for social media, and they come hard and heavy because he owns Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And everybody is solely beholden to riding this pony for free. They better get their head around that. He was just billed $1 billion. How you think he gonna make that money back? He just gonna walk away? I don't think so. So, you know, people have to diversify and they have to maximize what they're doing when they're doing their marketing, when they're doing their promotion, and when they are speaking, you know.
They've gotta be watching the bottom line more now. And they just do the bottom line about where their money's going, because I know I've been in the industry for enough years that I know there are a lot of people pulling in a lot of revenue and their take home pay is less than I was making when I ran my daycare in my home.
Wow.
Because they're just spewing cash, either putting on big fancy events or they are spewing cash into ads. I know people that are spending $14 and $15 per click because they think it's going to pay off eventually. Mm. And I'm like, what if you actually maybe like did some market research and found out what people wanted before you paid Facebook to guess? Mm. Just a thought.
Well, they're looking, you know, they're trying to draw an audience too. And a lot of these social media platforms do not guarantee you conversion.
And none of them guarantee you conversion, right?
Well, you know, I've got 1 million followers. Well, whoop-de-doo.
I was going to say, if you find one that guarantees conversion, I'm interested in that one.
Exactly. And so they're looking at it, oh, well, I've got a million followers or downloads. You got about 500,000 voyeurs, people just sitting there like pumpkins. You know, they're not interacting. They're not increasing the volume and the frequency on your algorithms. They're not buying from you. They're not promoting for you. And you're going full throttle. When you're in business, you know, putting up a flyer, believe and trust this postcard. My son told me, he goes, Mama, I was in Brisbane, Australia, and I was in a coffee house, and I looked up, and there was your postcard. Now, that's making an imprint, brains. Okay. They can do some grassroots stuff. You got to talk to people. You got to call them on the phone. Email them. Absolutely. You got to engage with them. Don't just think that this one particular vehicle is going to be the be-all, end-all. I got a friend that got rid of her brick and mortar and said, I'm just going to go straight online. And then she got put in Facebook jail.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, girl, they locked her up. And for 3 or 4 days, I thought we was going to put in the hospital. My whole life, my whole career. I had another young woman that was on Instagram. My whole life, my whole career is Instagram. You got
that's the language. That's the language of suicidal risk, by the way.
And another thing, going back to that, you know, this social media bullying. I don't know why people just don't click folks off or stop your social media account or whatever. But
it's an addiction to cortisol. You want to know what's really going on. We have a society that is addicted to a cocktail and it does not have alcohol in it. It is the cocktail that your body produces. It's epinephrine, adrenaline, cortisol. It is a very potent drug, and we've become addicted. And I can go into the science of how this happens, but suffice it to say, we all have a common ancestor. His name is Og. He's a caveman. When Og gets up in the morning and he walks out of the cave and he sees a shaking bush, immediately he's back in the cave. In that instant, his body was flooded with cortisol, epinephrine, adrenaline, all of the stress things. He's in fight or flight mode faster than you can even think fight or flight. And all the blood rushes to his muscles, so he's ready to survive. Cool. Our bodies react exactly the same way today. Okay, the system hasn't changed. We think that because we have a prefrontal cortex that he did not have, that our bodies have changed. They haven't. Now, here's where the real kicker is. The caveman, Og, when he's back in the cave, what's he doing? Boy, glad that's over. And he's breathing deeply because he's used his big muscles. His body resets in an instant because deep breathing triggers the body to release the counterbalancing chemicals. Hangover cure, if you will. And his body resets and he's cool. He's fine. He's just schlepping along now, waiting for a little while before he goes out again. We don't have the same response today. My trigger, okay, because here's the kick. The body cannot tell the difference between a real threat, a perceived threat,
right,
or the memory of a threat.
Okay.
So for me, my boss, standing over my shoulder, would trigger me into fight or flight mode. This is even before the word triggered became popular. And he'd ask me a question, and I wouldn't be able to give him an answer. And I didn't understand why, but I couldn't think straight. He'd walk away. I'd go, that's what he wanted. And then I'd have to chase him down. Because when I would get stressed with him, I'd get triggered. That blood that rushes to your arms and legs comes from your head. It comes from the higher functioning areas of the brain. It protected the caveman from bleeding to death if he got a head injury. And it gave him focus. For us, it pulls the oxygen away from our areas of reasoning, voice, you being able to articulate things, language is in there. It's a hot mess because we don't stop and take a deep breath. Okay. And that's the kicker. My definition of PTSD is its own medical term. Okay, so I don't use that because that is a medical diagnosis and I am not a doctor.
Right.
Triggerable discomfort from the past. Now that I'm an expert in. That's what I experienced that day when my daughter spoke. I was triggered with discomfort from the past that I had thought I was done with. By the way, when you are triggered with a memory of stress, that is pulling you right back into that exact moment, and your body is flooded with those exact same chemicals.
Right. Right. I know a lot of people, you know, past life regressions, or when they go through hypnotherapy, or they, I know a lot of people who are in the military, they take them through this process so that they can get to that point of when the bomb went off, or, you know, whatever their trigger was, but they don't take them through that trauma. They give them tools and help them program right before they get there so that they show up differently. As we conclude, can you please share with us, Jackie, how do we show up as a parent, and how do we show up as someone that is in crisis mode, asking for help? What would be some two or three suggestions that you could give us right now?
The first way you show up is by taking a deep breath, knowing that if your child is upset, if your child is at risk, you as a parent are going to be triggered. So the first thing to do is learn to manage your own triggers. Whether you do one of the things like what you were just talking about, where they take you before the event and give you better tools so that they can take you through the memory of the event with better tools, or they work with something like my brain retraining, where we totally and permanently resolve that, what I call unresolved negative emotional history. Mm. Yeah. And there's so many modalities out there that work, whether you're going to do rapid eye movement, whether you're going to, I mean, there's such a huge variety now. Do something for yourself, because the more you get yourself stable, the easier it's going to be for you to be present for your child who is unstable. Mm. If you're not willing to get that help for yourself, why in the hell would your child take your advice? Because they know you're a hot mess. Every parent is a hot mess at some moment.
Right.
And if you don't shape yourself up, why would your child take your advice to get help or even be willing to talk to you? And it's a miracle to me that my daughters talk to me, because I was a hot mess when they were growing up. If I wasn't depressed, I was in the manic phase. Because I would swing. I did not have manic depression. I didn't have that diagnosis. I just had clinical. Doesn't matter.
Right.
My behavior was swinging. Mm-hmm. If your behavior is swinging, if your emotions are swinging, do not expect your child to trust you with their emotions that are swinging.
That makes
Get
sense.
Yourself help first.
Wow. I took that deep breath. Thank you so much for all the help and, you know, being so vulnerable.
I
appreciate you opening up to us, because there's a lot of parents out there that don't know what to do, and they play the blame game, and it's mm-hmm. very individualized. And, you know, we've got to talk through the issues, be it drugs, be it peer pressure, be it sexual indiscretion, be
and
it.
And those are all symptoms that yeah. you've got a problem. They are not the
sexuality. You know, all of these things are what are facing our young people right now. A lot of them are getting upset about climate change, this vaping. All of yeah. these things are altering their mind. The legalization of marijuana. Just because you can do it doesn't mean that you should. Okay? You
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can go get a half a gallon of cognac and throw it back. But does that mean that you should? No. So, you know, talking with your kids, listening to your kids, mm-hmm. being present, and getting your hot mess together.
So, I got a gift for you, and you can share it with all your brains.
Okay.
I did a meditation, a recorded meditation called 3 Minutes to Peacefulness. Mm. And I will give that to you, and you can just share it. Okay. I've got no attachment to it. Let's get the brain some help. Because if you do 3 minutes of a meditation, that's all you got to do. And it's guided. So people say, I can't meditate. Well, darling, neither can I. That's why I created this.
Right. It's yeah. awesome.
So, let me pour some love on your brains, because you let me come in here and work through some of my mess. And this was just divine timing that we ended up connecting at this moment in time for me, because I needed somebody who would push me a little bit to talk about this, because I got 23 years of silence, that habit to break.
Wow. Well, you're doing a great job. And you know what? That's one of the hardest things, though, is getting your kids to listen to you. Now, I'll tell my daughter something and she'll go, oh, I know, but Kim's mother said, well, you know what? Kim's mama ain't your mama. How she know? They always want to listen. But if you are that outside influence, and mm-hmm. if you are that person, because some of her friends come to me, mm-hmm. share with them the wisdom, encourage them to share that information with their family, and to get the help that they need. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Jackie Simmons, if they want to get that hot mess. Girl, I love that. I love that.
I'm going to give them a way to connect with the mission instead of connect with me. They connect with the mission, then they'll get the information about how to connect with me.
Okay.
Because I'm that adamant that my goal is 100,000 books, 100,000 teens with this book in their hands for free this year.
All right.
So I need all the brains I can get on this one.
Right. And tell them how to do that. I mean, you told me about a special offer that they have. If they purchase a book, then they can get it. Someone else can get a book for free.
Please, it is a buy one, give one. And trust me, I put this, you said it's on Amazon, okay? Here, do your brains like to save money?
Girl, yeah.
Okay, just checking, you know. On Amazon, you can buy this book, Make It a Great Day, The Choice is Yours, for $14.99. Or you can go to makeitagreatdaybook.com, buy this book for $9.99, and for every book you buy, we give one to a teen for free.
All right, well, I'm going to buy mine as soon as we conclude this, okay? Because I have to be an example. I have to be an example. I do.
You wanted to know how to get your kids to talk to you. You right. Be an example.
You be an example. And you know what? You never know who this book is going to help. This mm-hmm. book could also help an adult as well. It is.
These are adult stories. We don't recommend them for children under teenage. Teenage kids now, they've already been exposed to so much. You cannot keep them protected if you've got a TV or computer or they have a phone.
Right.
I mean, we have to accept that. And then we have to give them better skills. So this book was designed to share some of the skills that some of us have learned and to do it through our stories. It's not a textbook. Why? Because if people wanted to learn something, textbooks would be bestsellers, and they're not.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you again so much for being here on The Edge. Brains, that's what we do. We're trying to, you know, elevate you, try to get some education, have a conversation. That's where it all starts. And so thank you so much for sharing your story and your wisdom and your brain training here on The Edge. You are awesome, Sasha. You going to come back and keep us informed, Jackie?
I sure will. Oh, you got that right. I will be so happy to come back at the end of the year and let you know how we did with our mission this year.
Absolutely. And Brains, go and check out the summit, okay? Even if the summit is over, I'm sure you can hit it on the replay.
I got three more days of live. I got three more days of experts coming on. I am hot on it for the next 3 days solid. So yeah, even if it's over, the recordings will be available. So do they need a website for that?
Absolutely. Give them the information.
It's The Woman, singular, The Woman Entrepreneur Show, SHOW. The Woman Entrepreneur Show.com.
All right, Brains, go check it out immediately. I'm counting on you. I love you. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge.
Thank you, April.
All right. Bye, Brains. I'm loving on you.